Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. And relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Very pleased to have with us State Senator Michael Johnson, direct from the growing metropolis of Fort Mill. How are you doing?
Always good to be with you. Thank you, Manning.
So for all the newbies who have moved in since you were last on the show.
And there are a bunch.
and a lot of them Fort Mill.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, your district covers what?
TQK, Fort Mill, Indian Land. Really kind of stops just south of Sun City.
All right. So, you've been a state senator for how long now?
This will second term, so 5 years now.
And in 5 years, your district has grown roughly how much population-wise?
So in 2020, my district had, when we started redrawing, my district had 148,000 people in it. It's only supposed to have 112. So we made it considerably smaller. But I have already been told that my district is probably going to be closer to 117 to 118,000 in our next kind of update, which is coming up in the next year or two.
Oh, geez. So how do you possibly service all that? Now, sir, you've got a smaller geographic, let's say, than Everett Stubbs does. He's got to go all over God's green earth to meet all his people. How do you do it with your district?
So I do a newsletters. Put a newsletter out every other week. I try to do quarterly events where I'll show up somewhere and just open house, talk to people, go to every civic organization you can. It's hard. I mean, I've always said you are constantly running for re-election because there are so many new people moving in who have no idea who I am. It's nice when I am at the grocery store in a restaurant. People just don't come up to me. It's very strange. You know, say from 10, 12 years ago, where people would, when I was on the county council, people would come talk to me at a table. Very rarely does that happen now. But if I say my name, people will sometimes recognize it. But it is a struggle to let people know, one, I'm here, and two, I'm more than happy to try to help you and talk with you and do what I can to make things happen.
He's an attorney by trade, so he's used to talking to people. You know a lot about legislation, how the sausage is made.
Unfortunately.
So what are people telling you right now as far as a concern? Like what they want you to work on? What they want you to work on?
Oh, you know, it's crazy as it sounds.
Price of eggs?
the new indie smell.
I mean, oh, my God, we're going to get into that. Go ahead.
The old bow water. That's probably popped up on my radar, had fallen off for about the past year. And more people have been contacting me about that. The reality is some of that's weather, some of it's some other conditions. One of the air strippers was taken down. It's now back online, so the smell and the sulfur dioxide levels should go down. New strippers should be online by the end of June. A lot of that's being handled by the EPA and by the state of South Carolina, but you would be amazed at how many phone calls I get about that. Roads, education, taxes, kind of things you think, but I spent a lot of time on New Indian, things like that.
Well, for the record, the New Indy has reached a settlement with those who filed the lawsuit against them.
They did.
I've forgotten what the terms of that were, but scrubbers and money and all that are involved.
Yeah.
But you can't fight Mother Nature. When it gets foggy outside, Mother Nature does things to the atmosphere that are just probably going to be there.
Yeah, that unfortunately, and I try to relate it to this. Bow water, the pre-New Indy,
right,
was there for a long, long time. And now we have moved to it. It didn't move to us. We moved to it. And I'm not blaming the citizens for complaining. What I am saying is, there's always going to be X amount of smell out of a paper mill. The question is, should it be as bad as it once was and that it has been over the past 6 weeks? I think we have to limit that and stop that. But what someone once told me that when they were young, that you would smell that in Rock Hill somewhere, and they would say, "Daddy, what's that smell?" And he'd go, "Oh, that's the smell of money." And because, you know, a lot of people made a living out there and still do. And
sure.
So you got to – I try to balance the we're moving to it and the potential nuisance that it creates.
Yeah. Well, the governor's state of the state was very interesting. And, of course, he wants to see us lower the tax rate again. Your thoughts?
I am for anything that lowers taxes. Bottom line is the state of South Carolina has run a surplus of closely a billion or more every year since I've been in the state Senate. I'm proud that we've cut over $2 billion in taxes already, but we need to cut more. Surpluses aren't extra found money. That's your tax dollars and my tax dollars that the government collected that it didn't need. And I can promise you, if we let government sit on it, it will find a need, or more likely, will find a want for that money and go spend it. And so I'm all about let's lower the taxes. North Carolina's going to a 0% corporate tax.
Ooh.
You know, you look at Florida and Tennessee, they're at 0% on a personal income tax. I think we've got to start thinking about how we're going to be competitive over the next decade and more in South Carolina, and part of that is tax policy.
Well, let me put you on the spot here, because we talk every time you're on the program for years and years. We've been talking about education. And South Carolina has done a better job, you know, raising the salaries. But quite frankly, it's not acceptable in terms of what it takes to live today in South Carolina. You know, we beat our chest because we've done this, we've done that, blah, blah, blah. But I'm wondering with these surpluses why somebody at the state level hasn't said, you know what, this presents us with a wonderful opportunity to change the model for how teachers are compensated across, let's say, the southeastern United States. Instead of $50,000 being the magic number, do we have the opportunity to go to 60? I mean, really to think out of the box, because industry keeps demanding that you give them your best and brightest. Well, to get that, you got to have the best and brightest teaching them.
Well, you know, my wife introduces me as her husband, Michael, and she's a second grade teacher, been teaching 26, almost 27 years now. And I can tell you, she started in the 20s and has, you know, got a master's degree and moved up the ranks. It is important that we pay our teachers more. We are entrusting them with our greatest asset, our children. There's no greater asset than we have in that. There's no question about that. I have been engaged with some of my colleagues to say, let's get to $50,000 as a starting salary, but then let's pause for like 2-3 years and let's start increasing the gaps between each rung of the ladder. So right now in year zero, you're going to make $50,000, and that next year, you're going to make $50,300. $300, that's not a pay raise.
No.
That's like, oh, here's some extra money for coffee today. It's just not realistic to keep up with the inflation, keep up with the cost of living here. So what I want to do is start moving the gaps between each year farther and farther apart. Now, that's going to require that we hold the line on the new teachers for a second or two. But let's start using some of these surpluses so that when you get to year 28, you're making significantly, you're not making $18,000, $19,000 more than you made when you were started. You're making a lot more.
Right.
And the reality is that'll retain you. You'll want to stay. The worst thing about teaching, in a sense, as I look at it at least, and this is Michael Johnson's thoughts on teaching, not a teacher. My wife would kind of frown at me at this point. Profession made up of young women who at some point get married, have a baby, and the question becomes, is it more expensive to send my child to daycare or stay in that classroom?
Bingo.
And that is it is ridiculous that we are losing teachers because we don't pay them enough to pay daycare, especially if they have two kids. So we have to do better. I had a conversation with Tommy Schmolze before he left Rock Hill about a year and a half ago, and I said to him, "Tell me one thing that I could do to make it better for teachers." He said, "Give us daycare. Let us do daycare inside of our school. My teachers on their lunch break could go see their children." He goes, "And if it was free," he goes, "I promise you, I would retain more teachers."
There you go. Good idea. So conversations continue to go on. It's not like I'm sitting here talking to a vacuum.
No. I think everybody realizes there is a disconnect between the teachers in the classroom and the kind of the rest of the world. And the funny thing is, the teachers just keep getting up every day and teaching.
Yeah.
They don't complain. They don't scream and yell. They just go teach. We owe it to them, and we owe it to the children going through that system to have the best and the brightest have the opportunity to become teachers.
One of the things, speaking about education, that your newsletter talks about is lottery money being used to send kids to private schools. Primarily in districts that just are so ravaged by their economy, the corridor of shame, that for these kids to have an opportunity to go and get a decent education, they've got to go somewhere else to get it. Where does this thing stand?
So we passed that out of the Senate the other day. So here, kind of if you think about this, and I served on a school board, and if you'd have asked me 5 years ago, do you support any attempt to take money and give it to private schools, I'd have said, oh, no, absolutely not. There's no way I'm going to do that. Can't do it. Problem is, I started sitting down with the superintendent of education and others, and you just realize there are parts of this state. You're not in Kansas anymore. I mean, you're barely in South Carolina. There are some almost third world level type places in South Carolina.
Sure.
And we have children who are not able to succeed. And what a horrible statement that is. So what we're going to do is take money from the lottery. And by the way, the lottery runs a surplus, so there is enough money to do this. Up to 15,000 students when it runs its course, and 300% of the poverty line. And we're going to let those students have an opportunity to go to a private school. Is that going to be the panacea to fix all? I don't know. But I can tell you it's not working in Lee and Williamsburg and Fairfield. It's not working there today. And we're spending upwards of $30,000 a pupil in Fairfield County. And less than 25% of their students are high school ready.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a shame. It's an outrage. They deserve better. Their communities deserve better. Hopefully this will allow some groups to come in and give them educational opportunities so they can succeed. Because ultimately, we live in a world which you need to be a lifelong learner. And if you didn't become a lifelong learner by the time you were 18, it's going to be awfully hard in your 40s.
Sure. So it's out of the Senate. Has to go back over to the House. Get a reading of the tea leaves over there?
I try not to make predictions on my brethren in the House. while I appreciate them and certainly like them, they are their own animal, and I will leave them at that. But I think everyone understands that this is important. I think the question comes down to funding, and that's why we use lottery scholarships, because it's not tax dollars. I think everybody wants to lower taxes, use taxes on other things. But what we don't need, so the lottery gives us some flexibility. My hope is they'll take it up and let's give it a shot.
You know, we're living in a very interesting time politically. We've got a new administration that's been in place, what, a month, maybe a month? And they're just changing things like at lightning speed. One of it's very interesting is we've got this fellow Elon Musk going through with DOGE, Department of Governmental Efficiency. And it makes you wonder whether something like that makes any sense for the state of South Carolina.
Certainly. Yeah. You know, DOGE gets a lot of bad press, right? And you get it. You got a billionaire running around telling people what they can and can't do in government agencies, I can't imagine there's pushback to that, right? But we actually filed a bill in the Senate the other day. I know there's a companion bill in the House. We filed a South Carolina version of DOGE. Now, it is we're not going to pick a South Carolina billionaire to go do all of that. We're gonna let the governor pick a group of people. The House will pick. The Senate will pick. But their goal will be to look at our state agencies and try to make government more efficient. And it's a little embarrassing, quite honestly, that we're not already doing that. Name me a corporation that every, say 5 to 10 years doesn't sit down and say, hey, let's reshape ourselves to get rid of the dead wood and so that we can move forward. You prune a tree so it can continue growing. In South Carolina, our trees haven't been pruned in so long, it's ridiculous. We need this. I'm a co-sponsor of this bill. I look forward to seeing their results, but more importantly, I look forward to implementing those results.
Does it surprise you that the current governor or governors prior to him haven't done something like this before now? I mean, it's in vogue now because Trump's doing it.
You know, some things surprise me, some things don't. We're really not equipped at a legislative level to do oversight, government oversight. Think about it. All Congress does is government oversight. Every day they go in and they oversee something. Well, I don't have a staff. Four House members share one person who answers the phone. It's not a staffer. We really don't have those huge staffs, and you're not paying us, and we're not there year-round, so we can't just constantly question. But really, it is the executive branch's responsibility to oversee and make sure government was working efficiently. I'm not going to lay it on this governor or the past governors. I can tell you, it's all of us, and we need to fix this, and we need to make government work. If you send a dollar to the state of South Carolina, that dollar should actually be spent on something that makes your life and other South Carolinians' lives better.
Very quickly, there's a move afoot down in the legislature to lower or reduce, get rid of whatever it's going to be. I guess it's lower. The tax on watercraft. We got plenty of watercraft right up here in Lake Wylie. Makes sense to you?
You know, I own a boat. I won't complain if you cut my taxes in half on my boat. But I will say this. It makes great sense right up to the moment it doesn't. And why wouldn't it? Because we need comprehensive tax reform and stop saying, well, let's cut your taxes on your boat. Let's cut taxes on your private jet airplane. Let's cut taxes on your yacht. How about this? How about we have comprehensive tax reform and we create a system where everybody can actually prosper and do well and that businesses grow and want to come to South Carolina?
Say amen, everybody. Say amen out there. I always remember one of your peers, Tommy Pope, got the assignment, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever it's been, to take a look at all the special exemptions in the South Carolina tax code. And he worked all summer on the thing. And I asked him last night, I said, where is that report? He said, well, it's probably in a shelf somewhere with a bunch of dust on it. Nobody's done anything with it because we've got more exceptions in our tax code than most people have.
I let it be quiet for a second because that's the sound of the legislature working on that report. absolutely nothing. Nothing. That was one of those, let's pat ourselves on the back for finding all the answers and then let's do absolutely nothing to implement them. It is the most frustrating part about being in the legislature. You file bills, you say, hey, I want to move this, and they just don't move. And everybody runs on it. Everybody wants it, but it doesn't get accomplished. We've got to have real tax reform. Because I can tell you, the states around us aren't playing anymore. They are really getting serious. Because South Carolina is growing so fast, they've actually realized, you know, we're the person you want to dance with at the ball, and so they've got to become competitive against us. Well, we can't let up on the pedal. We need to comprehensive tax reform, income tax, property tax, commercial, everything. Nothing should be off the table. Somebody ought to take the dust off Tommy's old report, blow it off, and let's see what we can implement.
All right, with that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So, as a good Senator knows, we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We do fresh subs and saddles. We do them 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do them is in the white letters, and we're going to chat it out together at the count of three. Are you ready, Senator? You're ready. All right. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
If you have tried traditional weight loss methods of diet, exercise, and medications and failed to see lasting results, you may be a candidate for bariatric surgery at Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Our three board-certified surgeons have performed more than 1,000 minimally invasive robotic surgical weight loss procedures, which can be very effective in long-term management of weight. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, offering comprehensive weight management and weight loss services supporting patients on their journey to wellness. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
With Comporium, you get way more than home security. You get eyes everywhere. Remote access to lights and locks from anywhere. And right now, you'll get a secure home for a lot less than you'd think with anytime live video streaming, remote temperature control, and 24/7 monitoring. We're more than your internet company. We're your peace of mind, never felt this easy company. For zero stress levels, stay connected to what matters most. Comporium, always ready.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. State Senator Michael Johnson is with us today. He covers all of Fort Mill, all of TKK, and what was the other place?
Indian land,
of course. God, is there a square inch of space left in your district?
We are looking for it. When we find it, we'll let you know.
Golly dang. Wow. So as we were talking before the show got underway, since COVID, everything has gotten more expensive. Price of eggs has gotten more expensive. You're big into real estate. You're a real estate attorney. I mean, the prices of houses are crazy.
Yes, they are.
What did you tell me? You said, I don't know, a few years ago you might do a $1 million settlement once every 6 months or something, and now you get how many?
Yeah, we were doing, I might – you know, have closed $1 or $2 million homes a year.
A year.
I now do 2 or 3 a month. Jeez. It's just become normal in the Fort Mill, Indian Land, TUK area to do $1 million homes. And it's great, right? Because you're like, thank you. We're happy to have this. I'm glad my home value went up. Your home value went up. But it also squeezes out the firefighters and the police officers and the teachers and the people who wait on you at a restaurant and that you interact with on a daily basis. And where do those people live, and how do we create a community in which they can also be a part of, and they can live in our community and attend our good schools and get all the benefits from where they work, but they should also have the opportunity to live there.
So you have a teacher in the family, your wife. She understands that better than anybody. So what can we do as a community? I mean, we keep talking about this. I know there's some efforts underway with some of the organizations here in Rock Hill to try to do something. But it's going to take, I think, the private sector, the governmental sector, the faith community. I mean, you just name it. This is a universal problem across the country. And if it's one thing that's unique about Rock Hill and your county, is that we can solve we solve problems here.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's something afoot that you might have in the back of your mind.
Well, I actually have filed a bill that would revamp affordable housing. So currently, if you build what is considered affordable housing, you get a tax credit. Well, that bill is being abused and abused. That's just the best way to put it. What I've simply said is, hey, let's tie poverty to a number. Let's tie rents to a number. If you qualify, what happens is the person who builds the apartment complex or the condos or whatever it is that is going to be affordable housing, they don't pay property taxes. Their property taxes are waived, and that incentivizes what's the fastest way to lower your rent? let's take some taxes off that rent, and then that can be passed through, and it has to be passed through. I'm looking really hard at that, but you're absolutely right. This is, as people move here from California, Connecticut, New Jersey, wherever they're coming from, Georgia, they are bringing they sell their house and they come here and they can buy a whole lot more. I mean, we think our taxes are high. I looked at a guy one time and I said, this is going to be your tax bill. And it was going to be like $12,000 tax bill. And he looked at me and he said, a month? And I said, no, that's a year. He said, oh, that's nothing. I'm great. And I was like, wow, right? I mean, because that's a big tax bill.
Sure.
But that, it's a different way of thinking, different way of living in their community. I really want people to move here and become a part of our community and join in and help us keep the things that have worked here and that have made us so special and why you moved here, keep those things alive. It's really important.
And getting those people who are new to our community involved is a whole nother challenge, particularly when you take a look at what is it, 50, 60,000 people a day go up and down that interstate to work. They come home, they leave, they're exhausted. The culture of our community, that culture that made us what we are today, could very easily become something quite different if we don't figure out a way to get people engaged in the Strawberry Festival,
yep.
Right? The Come See Me Festival, you name it, things that make this community what it is.
Well, and are you a member of Rotary? Are you in the Lions Club?
Yeah.
Are you a member of a house of worship, you know, regardless of your faith? I mean, are you engaging in our community? And you really want to become a part of this area, and we want you to become a part of this area. And we need you. We need more volunteers, and we need help. We've not done it all right here, but I can tell you we've done a whole lot right, and that's why people are moving here. That's why, we are the fastest-growing state in America, and York County and Lancaster are some of the fastest-growing counties inside of that state, which ought to scare us tremendously while also giving us great hope, because I can tell you there are counties that only wish that someone would move there and help them.
Yeah, I mean, so true. I mean, if you go down to whatever it is, Williamsburg County or Allendale or some
Lee,
of these other
yeah, we
Lee
can,
County.
We can run a list.
We can run a list. I mean, we are very well off where we are here in this part of the state, but we are a poor state by anybody's measure, and it's because of, the economy and how it's changed. Anyway, Michael, thank you for being with us. I hope you get some traction on this. We'd like to keep us posted on this.
I will keep you in the loop.
Good. Michael Johnson, State Senator, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. They're so quiet over here, it's almost scary. We got Buster and his buddy. Buster and his buddy. We're going to tell everybody what we do here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. It's fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. And how we do it is at the count of three. Are we ready, guys? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.